From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch, health, nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Pete Stoughton. One in 54 children in Utah is identified as having autism spectrum disorder, and the prevalence of autism spectrum disorder is higher in Utah than the national average, which is one in 68 children. Boys are almost five times more likely to be identified with ASD than girls. Joining us this morning are Allie and Brian Hagen. They have a five-year-old son who has autism spectrum disorder, and they have founded a support group for those caring for children with autism in Summit and Wasatch counties to come together to share resources and provide peer-to-peer support. Brian and Allie, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming on, and more so, appreciate you starting this support group. Tell us a little bit more about the support group and why, I mean, obviously you have a five-year-old and you needed support, but why reach out and start your own group and not maybe go down to Salt Lake where there's other more formed entities?
You know, having a child on the spectrum has its opportunities, and Brian and I were in couples counseling and
dealing with this.
Yes, and one of the questions I had asked our local counselor was, are there any support groups? Because we, you know, obviously were struggling. And she looked at us, and I think this is what planted the seed, and she said, no, but you should start one.
Yeah, and really what it came down to is, and you identified it, there's resources in the valley, but there's a unique community up here on the Wasatch Back, and it's not an easy thing to get down there all the time. So, you know, what we saw was a need because we needed it. It was that simple.
Yeah, I'd love to jump into that because you both used different words for this. You said dealing with it and struggling.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, bring that reality to us as listeners. What are those struggles? What are the realities of having a child with autism?
Well, some of the, you know, opportunities that we're currently facing are much different than at the time of diagnosis. I'd say I was a first-time parent. You know, we have two stepdaughters. But in the beginning, he was very comfortable in our home. And as soon as we put him in preschool, that's when we started to see some more opportunities. His was more social, and he had a lot of sensory opportunities. So the school came to us, you know, our first parent-teacher conference, and said, you know, he's, you know, behind on his social skills. He has some opportunities from a gross and fine motor skills. He likes to smell everything, you know, so...
Every child's unique, right? But what we found with ours is that just integrating them into what we were hoping to see, a normal kind of, you know, educational path, looked like it was going to be impossible or certainly stunted, right? So they came to us and said, look, we don't know what to do with this. And we were already noticing things. We couldn't quite figure it out. Because when they're quite young, you don't really see it, right? I mean... Mm-hmm. The things that other parents have now told us they recognized, we didn't see it because, he's with us all the time. And the struggles that we ran into, if I could, to jump to that, is that when you start looking at how do I deal with this? You know, what do I do? You know, do I take him to a physician? Do I take him to a child psychologist? Do I take him to a neurologist? Do I take
right.
him, you know? And what we struggled with is, frankly, we're at odds with each other. You know, what she sees we need to, what Allie sees we need to do, what I think we need to do. And a lot of times the parents, you know, the father may be in total denial. Like, the kid looks great to me. What are you talking about? You know, mm-hmm. He'll grow out of it. Or, hey, it's just the way he is. But, I mean, you start seeing, she was seeing more of how he was struggling in his social environments than I was. So I think that's where a lot of that difficulty came from, mm-hmm. versus the dealing with it and the struggling with it. Right?
Mm.
Because it really is. For parents, this is a significant struggle, trying to understand where to go. And what we found was we couldn't agree on where to go. There's no obvious path.
Yeah. So in terms of diagnosis, it's curious. I read that 33% of children identified on the autism spectrum were evaluated for developmental concerns by the time they were 3 years old. I also spoke to someone who was doing a PhD, a doctoral thesis on this, and she said that sometimes they can identify autism spectrum disorder by the time a baby is 3 months old, and it has to do with inability to track.
Focus.
And yeah, and I found that fascinating. And so in terms of diagnosis, it's got to be so hard because the spectrum is
so broad.
Huge.
And it's getting broader from the looks of it.
And
know?
So if you were to give advice to someone else who is going through now what you were going through a few years ago or even before, what would that be, Allie?
You know, there were a lot of things early on that we just thought were quirks. Like, you know, he was an infant. I think he was, you know, less than 3 months old. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting on my knees and he looked up and he looked at the fan over
the
our couch,
fan.
The ceiling fan. And he opened his mouth really wide and his arms kind of flailed out. And we thought, wow, we had a running joke. He's, you know, he's the fan's biggest fan. Well, that, what we now know is called complex motor stereotypies. It's a, you know, repetitive behavior has evolved into a full on when he's excited. Or even just at random times throughout the day, he'll start stimming, which is he'll open his mouth, he'll jump up and down, and he'll flail his hands. So there were little things when he was very young that we just thought were quirks. We didn't realize that those, we didn't know anything about autism spectrum disorder. But I would say early on for early parents, as soon as the school came to us and we kind of knew a few things, we knew his meltdowns were pretty substantial. His self-harming behaviors, he was head banging on the tile floor, so we think he had some inflammation in his brain. He had a lot of sensory opportunities. When I would take him to like a baby and me class, he would run for the door. He couldn't get out of there soon enough. So I would say advice for other parents is, you know, if you notice something that's a little off, I would look into it, and as soon as we received the diagnosis and started getting additional supports is when we started to be able to manage the opportunities better.
Right. And so who is that? If you say go and get it checked out, as you were saying before, Brian, you wouldn't know who do you go to?
This is the problem.
You probably start with a pediatrician, right?
Exactly. And I'll tell you, our pediatrician looked at it and said, well, you know, he'll probably grow out of that. That was literally, I mean, and we looked at it like, okay, well, here we go. And we just kept down the path and we kept watching it, you know, advance. And we would video it. You know, we'd take a video on the phone, take it to the physician, point to it and say, should we be concerned about this? And, you know, we'd get the reply of, well, yeah, probably not. Okay, well, thanks, you know. And so Allie spent a lot of time researching, where do we go next? Who do we talk to? Where should we get information, you know, on any aspect of this? Mm-hmm. And that's where I think at the end of the day, that's where we ran into the wall, because you can search on the internet and find any perspective you want, you know, and there are people that believe that this is simply the way this child is. And there's, you know, some of the most brilliant people in the world were autistic. So what's everybody worried about? Right. And what all we're trying to do is to make our child comfortable amongst other kids and to be successful. That's it, right? I mean, it's a simple kind of thing to do, but to get there is really complex.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, the support group has only been around for 6 months.
Not even that.
We started it in November. It was our first.
Our first meeting was December, right?
November, was and then November? We had our first guest speaker in December.
That was it.
And so we have the National Ability Center. We have a lot of great resources, Capernaum. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on here in the Wasatch Back. But for those parents who are unfamiliar and not already invested and involved, there wasn't a consortium of resources to tap into. So how is your support group helping, other than, you know, just getting people together? Mm-hmm. But what does that look like?
So after we had our counseling, I thought this would be a great opportunity to look into. I reached out to the Christian Center of Park City, and they said, yes, we'd love to help you. And they were super gracious. They gave us a space and a resource. And her name is Kendall Lukrich. I met with her. And initially when we were talking about, okay, let's recruit a steering committee. And this steering committee will help us get the word out. And we kind of thought, we don't know what the response rate is going to be in the community. We might have five parents sitting down for coffee. So what we did is we recruited the steering committee, and then we put together a survey, and we published it to the community. And the results were, the response was pretty good. So based on those survey results, we'd asked, what's the frequency? You know, what time of day? What day of the week? What are the topics of interest? What would you like to, what would you like the support group to be? And then based on those responses, we set up, you know, monthly meetings, and then we set up guest speakers to, you know, address each of those topics. So we really reached out to the community. And then our first meeting in November was a social meet and greet, just to kind of get to know the other parents. We had 23 people show up. And so we thought, wow, this is something. And we kind of have just, you know, met month after month based on that.
I think the important point, too, is that, you know, we're not therapists. We're not physicians. We're not there to teach anybody anything. You know, that's not, we're there to share.
Yep.
And it's the caregivers and the parents sharing with each other. It's who they want to listen to, you know, what subjects they'd like to explore. I mean, there's a lot of well-worn paths on this subject, right? And a lot of parents have some pretty good experiences. But, I mean, this is a wicked problem. Every child is unique. Every single one, it responds differently. There's no silver bullet, right? So we're not there to try to, you know, pass out, here's the cure, you know, here's the treatment, we're there to share all the experiences because there's so many opportunities.
So the two meetings that have already been held, one in December, one in January, they were behavioral therapy and functional medicine, both with experts in those fields coming to speak to you. I think it's really interesting, functional medicine. And then coming up February 12th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Christian Center is one on diet and behavior. And this is, how do you find diet changes your son Dean's behavior? How does it help? Because I've heard that it can make a really huge impact on kids with autism spectrum disorder.
For us, it has been the single most important change that we have made. So we, you know, when he was an infant and we switched from, you know, breastfeeding to milk, he automatically had some obvious reactions to it. You know,
physical
bloating,
reactions.
Physical, eczema. And so we knew he was sensitive to milk. So we pulled that out. But fast forward to when he was diagnosed at 3.5 years old, the literature says to be gluten and dairy free. We pulled that just because we knew the literature said that. We also went in and took out processed foods. We took out sugar as well. And so fast forward to a year, we had planned a trip to Italy, and it had been a trip that we'd been looking forward to. It was my 40th.
This was just this past year.
Just recently. And we thought, you know what? We are going to just go and have a good time. We're not going to worry. We're not going to be so careful about the diet. So we went to Italy. We had gelato.
Because it's almost impossible when you're traveling to Italy to do gluten-free, dairy-free, you know.
Sugar-free.
So it was a practical decision as well.
So we, you know, we're in Italy. Dean sees these big ice cream cones out of every gelato shop. So we thought, oh, you know what? We'll let him splurge a bit. So we had pizza. We had pasta. We had gelato. And he turned into a different child.
Wow.
His stimming, or that complex motor stereotypies, was so almost violent that we knew we needed to switch back to being on a pretty strict diet. So we're whole foods. We're, you know, I make almost everything from scratch for him. We've noticed his behavior. He's so much more calmer. He's not as inflamed. His overall just a more attention span overall, I would say.
Yeah, between diet and some occupational therapies that we've put him through just to help him adapt his social skills to social environments, those are probably the two most important things.
Mm-hmm. And his sensory opportunities as well, they've helped significantly.
Mm. Yeah, this next meeting I think is going to be, we're going to learn a lot from it.
Right, so you have Dr. Catherine Reed, the executive director of Unblind My Mind. She'll be calling in a video conference. Where is she located? And she must be some kind of national expert on diet for autism spectrum disorder.
Yeah, I actually stumbled across, she has a TEDx talk. And so she's extremely popular in the autism community. And I listened to her, I saw her TEDx talk, and I was blown away because she actually explains the reason why gluten and casein, you know, she breaks it down to the protein structure and why it's inflammatory and how it creates some issues with our children. And so I contacted her and I said, you know, I just watched your TEDx talk. can I set up a consultation with you? And so we met with her, and she, her diet is called reduced excitatory inflammation diet. And so we took kind of what we knew and just took it a step further and fine tuned it. And we saw some more improvements. And then when I set up this group, I thought, I'll just reach out to Katie Reed and see if she's available. And to my surprise, she said, I would love to be a part of it. So we're excited to have her this month.
I love the diversity of some of your speakers on there too. You've got local, you've got national, you've got diet, and then you also brought in the school district.
Correct.
And how is the school district involved with this?
You know, I think that was, so Lori Maggard is actually one on our steering committee. So when Kendall and I initially met, we thought we need to reach out to the community and find some experts in the community. And Lori was kind of an easy choice because she, a lot of our children work, or, you know, go to school. But even personally, I don't know what Dean is going to go into kindergarten next year. I have no idea about the IEP or 504 process. And so I knew if I had those type of questions, we put it on the survey. A lot of other parents had those questions. And so she'll come in and she'll host an event for us and kind of walk us through what the parents' responsibilities are in that.
Well, it's wonderful work that you're doing. It's the Wasatch Back Autism Support Group for caregivers. You can find them most readily, I think, on Facebook. And with us here in the studio, Allie and Brian Hagen. And just best of luck with your son, Dean. It sounds like you are such great advocates for him. And it's a wonderful world in some ways, the exploration and discovery that you do. And while I know it's a huge challenge, many people call autism a gift, and I'm sure you found those elements of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Thanks for joining us today on The Mountain Life.
Their flyers are around town. The best place to find it is on Facebook, as you mentioned. Allie has lined up speakers all the way through, September at this point, right?
Correct.
So all we're looking for now is participation, people that want to be involved. And there's a lot of places to go with this. So we're eager to see what the community does to develop this.
The upcoming meeting, February 12th, it's Diet and Behavior, 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Christian Center of Park City. And it's a potluck. Bring a dish to share. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life. If you missed part of the show or want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab. We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows. Wherever you find your podcast, you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name. So look for KPCW The Mountain Life and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.